Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
You know, a lot of us here today have been Christians for quite a long time, but sometimes we forget the why we met Jesus in the first place, the why we followed him. And it's always good to come and refresh and tell our testimony, because our testimony is a powerful message of the workings of Christ in our life. And so we're going to do a little bit of a panel this morning around that, and I haven't given them any questions. I just told them, could you come and be on the panel? And could you talk about your testimony this morning? And I just want to get a bit organised here. I want to first read out of Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart of a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, which means declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in him, relies on, trusts in him, will be put to shame or disappointed. And this morning, all of us in this room, we've called on the name of Jesus and we've been saved. The gospel is a simple message. And so we just want to unpack that this morning. And I think we'll just maybe take turns here this morning and might just start with one question. We'll just go along. What were you like, Sue? What were you like before you became a Christian?
I used to belt people.
You used to belt people?
Yeah. If somebody hurt a friend of mine, they found out about it. And I was angry. I was an angry person before I met Jesus. So, yeah.
Yep. That's pretty truthful.
I'll just go to the toilet. No, just joking, because that's what I used to do if I was fearful. And I had to face something, I'd use the toilet as an excuse. I had to go to the toilet. So it was a lot of fear in my life. Yeah. So God uncovered that.
Yep.
Yeah. I was a rat bag. Yeah, it's about the easiest I can explain it. Probably not a very good person. Oh, yeah, here you go.
Well, yeah, I guess Mum and Dad will tell you that I was a bit of a trouble child. I just used to muck up a lot. I've been a Christian my whole life, but I got baptised at 7, so I guess before that, I was a terrible 2 apparently, so yeah.
Would you say that, like, even growing up in the Lord, basically, you had to get to a point where you had to find Jesus for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. That was probably about 13 when I really dug into God and the Word. And
It's really important. Like, there's a difference. There is a difference between not knowing Christ and then coming to Christ and growing up in Christ. And because I grew up in Christ. And at some point, as you grow, you actually actively have to make a decision for Christ yourself. You have to have an experience with him. You can't rely on your parents. You can't rely on your friends. You actually have to do that. And so that's really important along your journey. Yeah, God has no grandchildren, that's right. Okay, we'll go down the line. So Sue, what led you to find Jesus?
I found my sexy husband. And I started going to church now and again. And slowly but surely, God actually met me. I feel that Jesus met me. I didn't meet him as such. Yeah, so that's how the journey started, and you guys were at the beginning.
Yeah, I can remember Mick brought Sue along, and we said, "Who's this?" He says, "Sue." I think you might have said, "This is the person I'm going to marry." I thought you might have said that at that time. And it was very foreign, wasn't it? Church was very foreign at that time.
I thought all Christians just had a pretend friend in their head, like a makeup person in their head.
Breezy.
Well, I grew up a Catholic, and my father was very important in my life, and my mother, on her side, they were Protestant, and so there was a lot of fighting between the religions at that time, between my pop and nan and my father and my mother, and in the end my mother became a Catholic, and so I always looked at that I would grow up a Catholic. I didn't want any of this division in my life. So when I met my husband at 14, we were connecting together, and then things happened between my family being split up and then reconnected with Ian, and then we looked at our future together when I was 18, and decided, as a Catholic, that I want to stay a Catholic. And so I took him to the priest, and then he took me to a minister. And so we had that sort of, different sort of views on things. And he said to me, had I, because I went to church every week and I did all the things, I made my Holy Communion, so I felt I was on the right road. And he was on the wrong road, and I wanted to bring him onto my road. And so in the end, we ended walking together on the road. And he said, had I accepted Jesus into my life? And I said, well, I go to church, I pray. And so that challenged me to think about not so much doing but a relationship. I didn't really understand that he really loved me, and that he not only saved me but set me free. I didn't fully understand all those things. So as my boyfriend at that time challenged me, and his sister as well, and then I started. Navigators was very big at that time, and it was a good Bible-based sort of Bible study for young people. Guys went with guys and the girls went with the girls, and then we'd all get together for coffee, and it was such a new thing for me. And so the challenges were that I wanted to know and understand, was God real? Where did he come from, and who birthed him? And I think we all, we wanted those sort of things, and I wanted to know. And so I had so many questions. And so as God worked in my life through the Holy Spirit, my life changed, and so we made a decision together to follow the Lord and find a church together. Wow. So mine was a slow journey of understanding, who God was and how much Jesus loved me and saved me. So it was a different sort of thing. So it was a relationship. So that's, I found Jesus through people. And anyone who knows Ian, he can be a bit challenging, and he used to challenge me, and we used to fight a lot over religion, which I never wanted, but it was a good thing. It sort of really cemented some things in for me, and I started to journey a relationship with Jesus. Yeah,
awesome.
I guess the easiest way I can explain it. I sort of grew up around church, like my mum was in and out of churches and that, and I developed this really good habit of going to church on Sunday and then running with my boys the rest of the week. But I sort of always had, thank God for a praying grandmother, because I sort of always had inside of me some sort of a compass. Like, so most of the boys I used to, well, out of my group that I grew up with, I'm the only one that never went to jail.
Wow.
So I used to think it was because I was a quick runner, believe it or not. But God, now I look back on it and God sort of would, before we where we were would get raided, I'd get the urgency to leave or I'd get there just after a raid. And I was pretty happy doing that, running with my boys and then, you know, sort of going to church on Sundays. And then a guy come to our church. We went through a bit of a church. Oh, the previous pastor left and this other guy come along and by the name of Ian Spencer. And he sort of, when I was about 13, he sort of held me to account. And he was the first guy ever in my life, because I grew up without a father. I was a single mother in housing commission at Wyoming. And he was the first guy ever really to invest in me and sort of take me under his wing and show me what a real father was. And through that relationship with him, he was able to show me God's love for me. And through that relationship with God, I always remember him saying to me one day, "Son, you can't run with the foxes and hunt with the hounds. You need to make a decision which way you go." And for that, for me, that was the moment where, because of what he'd sowed into my life and because of the belief he had in me and what God had for me, that's how I met Christ, through my spiritual dad. Mm. And the, believe it or not, you know what the hardest thing was? Leaving my mates behind.
Yeah.
And I think that's the secret to salvations and that it's the hardest thing, because one minute you're running with, and we were pretty tight, like to the point where I'd go to youth camp and wouldn't have anything to wear or you know, like we went to that CRC youth camp at Maru and like it's at the foot of the Blue Mountains and they would clothe me. My group would clothe me. They would go and do their rorts and then I'd say, "Oh, I need a jacket." Next thing they'd buy me a jacket, or you know what I mean? So it was pretty tight. Like and I always remember the moment that I decided to switch, I thought, "Oh, well, how can I leave my mates behind? Like, because they're being real good to me." But then the men in the church sort of stepped in the gap for me, and they sort of took me under their wing. So it was through all the men in the church and Dad holding me to an account that I found God. So,
wow.
Oh. Yeah. Well, as I said before, like I grew up in a Christian household, and I'm so thankful that I had Mum and Dad to impart life into me and, you know, tell me about Jesus and morals and ethics and all that. But for me, my salvation really didn't come till I was 13. I was bullied my whole primary school life at school leading up to high school, and then I got bigger than everyone else. My whole life in primary school, I was bullied. And when I was about 11 to 13, I really struggled with it. I got some really dark thoughts and, you know, it was sort of like, "Oh, it's better off if I'm not here," that sort of stuff. And it was when I was 13 and I started going to a youth group. And at the time, my youth pastor was sharing on the Easter message. And it's a message I'd heard a million times. But you all know that when it's for you, like, you know, it's like that word is speaking directly to you. And he was talking on the Easter message and how Jesus died for me. And it was like he pointed straight at me when he said it. And he goes, "Yeah, Jesus died for you." And I'm going, "What? Like, I've heard that, but like, how can that be? Because everyone else tells me that, like, I'm, you know, I'm not good at this and I'm terrible and all this stuff." And then he said something that I've kept as words for life. And he said, "The world says you're worthless, but Jesus says you're worth it." And that changed my life right there. I just went, "Wow, like, my people at school tell me I'm worthless, but he says I'm worth it." So obviously I'm going to listen to that. And it just, it flipped me upside down straight away. Like I was positive from that moment on. I just went, well, there's no point listening to that because I know who I'm loved by. You know, I know who I'm loved by. And so that really changed for me. And that's when I really just started to say, well, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I'm just going to be out there and crazy, as you all know I am. And I've just been like that ever since.
Yeah. That's a really interesting thing. We have four people here today who have had four separate experiences and journeys in finding Christ. And it really makes you think, like, we all serve God and He all loves us individually. But He calls us individually. He meets us where we're at different spots. I mean, with Sue, Sue was not a Christian. She met Mick. Mick got her connected with God. Rosie was, what would you say, more religious than Christ at that time, got connected with Ian. It was a journey of getting to the point of really understanding more of Jesus and who He was in your life. Sam was probably living a double life at the time. Josiah actually grew up and went to a Christian school, but still got bullied because people are people and still had to find Christ for himself. And I think that's something we have to recognise with people, and when we're reaching out to people ourselves and reaching out to show the love of Christ, is that everybody's different and everybody finds Jesus in a different way, on a different journey. Okay, so some of you sort of shared a little bit so far, but what changed in your life when you found him?
When I found him, like, I started believing in God, but I hadn't given my heart to him. And then I went to a women's group thing and I started crying for some stupid... I don't know why I cried, actually. I just started blubbering. And that's not me. I don't cry in front of other people. And I couldn't leave because I took a girl to this event. And someone said to me, do you want to give your heart to the Lord? I said, I don't know. Anyway, did it. And I felt like it was party time. I liked parties. And I felt like it was party time. The weight lifted off my shoulders. You know, it was amazing. I'll never forget that feeling.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Can I have the question, please? What
changed in your life when you experienced Jesus? Like, did you change as a person?
For my change, because I wasn't really a naughty child. I was quite good, and people used to say that I was good. And I found that hard, actually. And I think people who often get, you know, they're the good ones in the family, they get picked on by the other siblings because they are good. And so I am very sensitive to children in that situation because I've gone through it, and you can be bullied in your own home, you know, by it, and even parents can not realise that they are doing things not to help that child because they forget about that child because they are so good. Mm. Yeah, and so it wasn't sort of that I had to be good, I had to be anything, I just had to be me.
Yeah.
And I think finding me when you are a good child, sometimes you can be lost in that. And I think I got lost in being good and not being myself. And yeah. So, you know, not pleasing people all the time. And so, but being able to even be able to please myself was lovely. And so being able to, God lavished on me.
Would you say that was a bit like finding your identity with Christ?
I think that's where I needed to. I had lots of hang-ups as a young person because I came from a very violent home life. So I didn't share a lot of stuff with people. Trust was a big thing. You know, Proverbs 3 about trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That was very big in my life because trusting people, not sharing with people how I really felt, but being caring for other people but not caring for myself. So I think I had to learn that, and that's how he showed me, and also he set me free because I came from a violent home life and I didn't have people there to help me at the time, which was my parents, because they were going through things that I didn't even let God help me. I became like God. I went, no one will help me. I'll help myself. I'll look after myself. I will, you know, look after my problems. And also I had a younger sister, so I always was like a mother to her. I looked after her. So learning to actually let go of yourself and allow him to come and look after you and direct your path and your life was a very big thing for me, to let go and let God. Mm. Yeah, so trusting in him and knowing that he would always be there for me. And so it was a credible journey of freedom in accepting Jesus into my life.
Mm. Yep.
I think it's still going on. I think, so when Dad stepped up, I remember it pretty vividly because he was talking about the father heart of God, and then he spoke about the orphans and how God loves the orphans, and I wasn't an orphan, I just didn't have my dad, like, you know. But it struck something in me real down deep, and I think I cried for like on his shoulder, absolutely sobbed for a good 15 minutes, and I mean really, really. And it was that sort of moment the journey started, because I went from not having a father to having Dad and God, and just how he just loved on me. And just, I went from not having a future or not having an inheritance to having a future and inheritance. Mm-hmm. In one fell swoop. It was divine. Yeah. That's about the easiest way. But I still deal with it today. Yeah. It's like every now and again the enemy tries to come around and bring that thing around, and if I'm not on my game, I sort of can fall into it, you know what I mean? But that's why I say that's one of the real areas that I have to work hard with, is my identity in Christ.
Yeah.
So, yeah, still going.
Yeah, I think what changed for me was I had to learn forgiveness. I had to say, okay, you know, those people that wronged me, God still loves them. And so for me, that was a really big thing, was to forgive those guys. And some of them actually became really good friends of mine in high school. And, like, it's amazing how God works, you know. And I think another thing for me, I really had to learn love. I knew love, parental love, you know. I knew how much my parents loved me, but I didn't know God's love. I didn't know how much Jesus cared for me. I didn't understand that. And I think that really changed to me. I really learnt that once I gave all my problems to him and surrendered and said, okay, you know, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. You know, I'm just not going to care what they think, what they say. And once I started reading his word and praying, I just really learnt God's love. And that's how I still try and live now. I just live out of love now. Because to me, that's what it's about. And I want other people who go through the same thing to know that it is okay and it's going to be okay and that you will get through it.
Awesome. So I think, Sam, you had touched on it, but what's been your greatest sort of challenge since you've been on your journey with Jesus?
I think it's letting go. And one thing, like I always protected myself. I was the one that I trusted to look after me. And so giving that over is quite hard when all you've ever relied on is yourself. And I thought I'd forgiven everyone in my past, but I found out when we did Search for Life that there's one particular person I haven't forgiven. And I think doing those things, you have to do it to move on, but I also think it's hard.
Yep.
I think, can I have the question again? Sorry, you get involved.
You touched on it before, like Sam. So what's been your greatest challenge since being on your journey with Jesus?
I think my journey has been just having checks on myself to see where I'm going every year, and because I think you're growing in different ways. So for me, every year I was growing differently. So the challenge was to make sure that I got in the Word, because I'm very big on if I have a problem, I go to the Bible. And I've grown up with the Word of God since I became a Christian. And I think the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And, you know, the thing that I've been munching on this year is insight and wisdom. And I think we all need that every year. We need insight for our own lives, wisdom from God. And so the challenge for me is to listen to God regularly in those areas and stay on His path, not my path. Yep. I'm very good at my own path, very good. And it's trying to move back into going with God. And I think what you're saying for our 2019 church year is to step out into things that we are not maybe comfortable or good at, but knowing that God will be with us in those moments if we do step out in those things that He wants for us, not what people want. So knowing that and stepping out in it, you have the freedom then to know that He walks with you. So I understand that, but it's doing it.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, just before Sam speaks, you know, stepping out is such a big thing, and like Ali, you know, shared this morning, you know, about stepping out, getting out of our comfort zone. Louise shared this morning about getting out of our comfort zone, and it's a big thing, but it's what we're called to do, and I'm really looking forward to 2019 in that space. And you know, as you know, we've had particularly some of these guys join this year. Some of you guys, your church closed down and you joined with us, and you've just had to step up. We've just said, come and be part of it, you know, and even Ali, come and be part of it, come and sing, come and lead some songs. Like, you've just done it, and that's really a word for all of us to step out and be prepared to step out in 2019. We really feel, you know, it's a make it or break it year as far as going to the next level in God and for this church and for this region.
Can I just share too, just to, on those areas for my own life again, is that I've journeyed a lot of fear in my life and stepping out, and then we moved in not long after I became a Christian into pastoring, like becoming a trainee pastor. And that's a big challenge because for you as a church, knowing me, I'm a very outgoing person, but when I was younger I had a lot of reservations, and I wouldn't even get up where Diane was. I wouldn't get up and do a children's talk, let alone to talk to anybody. So God has set me free in those areas, and I hungered where you are now, right? If God's speaking to you and you're going, no, I would not do that. God is actually gives you a hunger, and He starts to bring something in your life where He sets you free to start stepping small steps into doing those things, and then sets you free to be able to then step bigger. And so that's what He's done in my life. So, yeah.
That's great.
What was the question?
I knew you'd ask that. What's been the biggest challenge in your life since your journey with Christ?
So my biggest challenge is my family, because I feel a sense of responsibility, but I really got no one. Like, I feel like I'm breaking new ground all the time because I've not had. Like, I've got my dad, but you know, I don't. It's different because I don't. It's not like growing up with a dad, so you see him handle all the situations. You don't see, like, how he handles you when you're 15 or 17, or he doesn't. You don't see how he handles, like, with his wife. So my biggest challenge is trying to work out where God, where I am in my family, and try and lead them, but really got no idea where I'm going, and trying to deal with the boys. I think it's quite funny that God's blessing me with four sons and I got no idea how to handle any of them, if I'm honest.
I think you're doing pretty good.
but 2018-19, I just get the sense, like, yeah, we come to the church, but we sort of came with the mentality that we had to sort of serve. Like, normally when we change, like, we've only changed churches four times. And normally I impose a self 6 month, like, I come, I do 6 months, I work out what goes on, I work out who's who, I build relationships with the people, and then I sort of get going from there. But it's been different this time because it's just been bang, straight into it, you know, and I find that difficult too, because I don't want to come and just do what I do and not know anyone, because that's not how God wants us to minister.
Yep.
So, and believe it or not, I can be quite shy. I can be. But I have a firm believing of 2019 is, at the moment, we're like the children of Israel camped at the Jordan, and the spies have gone into 2019. And we're spying out the land, and it's like we decide what 29 is or not. By our report and how we see ourselves in God. Yeah. You know, like, we're at the point now where do we, as a body of Christ, do we want to walk around in the wilderness and keep dealing with that old crap? Or do we want to go into our promised land?
Yeah.
And that's where we sit, and it's all reliant on us and how we see ourselves in God. Because I firmly believe 2019 is going to be huge, yeah. Not just for this body, but the whole body of Christ. And it just depends now on how we see ourselves in God. Because if we see ourselves as the grasshoppers, have fun, another 30 years in the wilderness. But, you know, God's calling us to the promised land. And he's leaving giants in there for him to glorify himself through us. So don't be afraid of the battle. Don't be afraid to take your place in the army. Don't be afraid to step out. Because if you step out, he'll catch you.
Awesome.
That was great. I think for me, I've had to learn to get rid of toxic people on my journey. That's been a big one for me, even as recent as this year. I'm sort of a person who trusts people and, like, love people even if they're bad for me. I don't really realise until it's almost finished and stuff's going really bad, and then I go, oh, I better get out of this. So, yeah, I think that's been, for me, is toxic people. I had a mate who I was really good friends with, but he was just toxic in my life. And the start of this year, I just went, sorry, man, I just got to, you know, that's it. Like, I just can't do it. I just can't be around that. You know, it was affecting the way I served in the house as well, you know, because I'd be, like Sam said, you know, I'd be rolling with this guy during the week, and then I'd be coming to church on Sunday, but he wouldn't come, you know, he wasn't into it and everything, and then during the week he'd convince me of other things, and so I think, yeah, really getting rid of toxic people in my life has been a big thing.
Yep.
Journey.
Yep. So just ending this morning, I want to thank you all for actually stepping out and coming up to you today, especially people that don't normally get up here and talk like this. Awesome. But Sam's already touch on it this morning, but just, you know, a word for next year. How are you feeling?
actually, I had prayer this morning and something unlocked. I feel like I'm going to explode, to tell you the truth. Something happened this morning. Look forward to 2019 and we'll see.
I'm going fishing. Doing something for myself in 2019. Sometimes you get caught up in doing things for everybody else or doing particular things, and just going fishing is my type of thing where I can stop, do nothing and just focus on what God's talking to me about. So 2019, I'm going fishing.
What was the question?
You sort of answered it before about next year.
Oh, yeah. I'm praying at the moment that I'm humble enough to listen and smart enough to move. Because I feel the ones that listen and are smart enough to move will catch it. And the ones that are used to getting it spoon-fed to them might miss it entirely. Well, not entirely, but miss the crest of the wave, miss the face of the wave. You'll still catch it because we're a body of Christ. But, yeah, that's me. I'm just praying that I'm, yeah, that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, for next year, it's leaving history behind and bringing his story into the future. Yeah, I think we focus on our past too much. We focus on what's happened to us and not what's happening now and what's happening in the future. And I really feel that, you know, like I've been through a lot of stuff with Mum and Dad and, you know, yeah, some stuff's been bad, but what matters is right now. And what matters is our church is just going to take off next year. It's just going to take off. Whether you believe that or not, I don't care. But it's just going to take off. So, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. But, yeah, that's mine.
Well, thank you, guys. Just as we're closing today, we're going to close and I'm going to invite Keith up. But, you know, don't leave today if you don't leave without getting prayer if you need prayer today. And I love you guys after the service to be available at the front to pray for people, because there's an anointing on you guys this morning. You've shared from your heart. You've been real. And we love that. So just going to invite up Keith for the last moment. And I know he's going to forget this, so I'm going to say this before I go down. Just to let you know, we're having a break for the next 3 weeks, a well-needed break. And so we've left you in the capable hands of Ian and Josiah and Faye. So they'll be all helping manage as a team the site here, and you'll have different homegrown preachers over the next 3 weeks. So please, if you are around, be the church, support each other, care for people. New people come in, care for them, look after them. So we look forward to coming back and doing life with you next year in a bigger and amazing way.
Thanks, Di. That was great, guys. I loved that. That was brilliant. So I just want to touch on a few things. 2019 is going to be a kickoff year for us in Central Life Church. We've got some ideas running down the pipeline. We are getting there. One of the things we're going to do is we want to break the stigma of the working class poor. They're the people who are working, but they've got huge mortgages and they don't have enough money to buy food. It's just craziness. And so when they go to charities and stuff, they're sort of almost turned away. What we're going to do is we're going to do hampers. We're going to do little hampers, you know, eggs, milk, bread, basic essentials that people need on a weekly basis. We're going to come in at about 7:30 on a Sunday morning. We're going to give them away. And we'll put it out into the community and say, come and grab them. They don't even have to attend church. How's that? I don't care whether they come to church or they don't. But if they come and they need a hamper, they can get one. Yeah? So that's one of the things we're going to do next year for the working poor. Because I know there are a lot of people under financial stress in our community. They're working, so they don't ask for help. So we want to put that out there. We want to break that stigma. You know, so we're going to do that next year as well. We're going to continue to work with Father's Table, with Coast Shelter and things like that. We're going to do Beauty for Ashes. We've got four set up for next year. The first one's on the 7th of February. We're kicking on 22nd. So the 20th, is that the packing day? So the 22nd of February is going to be our packing day for Beauty for Ashes. Now, Beauty for Ashes is a ministry that we do. We pack essentials for ladies who are fleeing domestic violence. And they often leave with nothing but the shirt on their back. And so we provide them something. And we also, we partner. We don't believe in reinventing the wheel. And we don't want to do that in 2019 either. We want to continue to partner with our partners, Coast Shelter, Father's Table and others, and we will continue to do that in 2019. But 2019 is going to be the year when we mobilise. We're going to mobilise this army and we're going to actually do stuff outside of us. So that will be our focus for 2019. We'll be focusing outside of the four walls. I want to encourage you, I want to strengthen you, I want to pray for you, I want to love on you, but then I want to kick you out the door and get you to do some things. Yeah? So that's what 2019 is going to be about. It's going to be about reaching and being pointed this direction. So, yeah, 2019 is going to be an exciting year. I hope you're excited about what's coming. We also have this thought. You'll notice that there's a big camera up the back. More like a sort of a studio camera. And God put it on my heart a few weeks ago, and then somebody came and confirmed it to me, was that this is really a studio audience. And I went, what do you mean by that, Lloyd? Well, this is just your studio audience. Woo! You know, we've got more people watching us on Facebook than we have attending the church. We still, and I really believe that there's a ministry on this church to send our message of hope in Jesus Christ out from this church. And it can go out through those tools that God has put in place for us to use. So we're going to set more and more up. We're going to build up a team that can do multimedia. So if you can do Photoshop and Facebook and blah, blah, blah. My daughter, Kiralee, showed me some things about Facebook yesterday I didn't even know existed. It was amazing. You know, so we'll need those skills. If you know somebody who's got those skills, invite them to church because we'll need them. We'll need them. If you know somebody who knows how to do video editing, invite them to church. If you know somebody who knows how to hold a camera and deal with a camera, bring them to church, because I firmly believe that we will end up reaching more people out through that camera than we're going to reach just by hitting the streets every Sunday. We would still reach more people doing that. So that's for next year. Now, I'm pretty excited about that. I've got three prophetic words over 20 years saying that I would be on TV. Three prophetic words about being on TV. And the last one I got, I had a TV crew follow me around in LA for a day. And that was quite interesting. And I thought that's what the prophet must have meant. God was going, no, this was just a little reminder of the word that we have over this church and over us. So I really believe that 2019 is going to be a huge year, a huge year. I don't think that we have opened ourselves up because we allowed into our church, a church bigger than us. We opened our hearts to a people who we could have asked them to have given more, but we didn't. We didn't rob them because they were bigger than us, because that's not integrity, is it? So we are a church of integrity. We do things not because it's easy. We don't do things because it's comfortable. We don't do things because, oh, well, I feel like coming to church today. No, we do it anyway. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And we'll always do that. We're always going to do what is right. We're always going to do what God tells us to do. And we will, if you bring me a word and it's something different to what God has said, oh, thank you for that word, but do you know, I'm going to go with God. Amen? I'm just going to go with God. If that's okay with you, I'm just going to go with God. And I'm more than willing to hear other people's opinion. I'm not so self-conceited that I think that my opinion is the end-all or be-all, because it's not. I have been wrong. Wrong. I have been wrong. I have made mistakes. I've made prophetic words that were not right and did not come to pass. So God didn't say it. It's easy done. But I want to speak God's word. I want to speak His voice. I want to get His thoughts for your life and for mine. I want to get His idea for this church. I want to get His idea for this region. Amen? So I'm excited for 2019. I know that we've had a 2018. It's been tough. It's been a tough year. We survived. We're here. We're still here. We're still here. It's amazing. We had a family meeting, you'll remember, those of us who were here back in February, March of last year, this year, saying, guys, if you want the church, you're going to have to step up. Because it wasn't looking good. It looked like we were going to close our doors. But God was faithful, amen? Yes. And can I say this with all of my heart? You were faithful. You were faithful. And I thank every single one of you for the hard yards that you've put in for this year, the prayer that you've put in, you know, the fastings that you've put in, you know, the love that you put in and showed to us. When I was sick, nearly every one of you sent me a note or came and visited me while I was ill. I don't want to get emotional. But it was emotional. Do you know what I'm saying? Most pastors would say, that would never happen in my church, but it happens in mine. Why? Because you are the church. You have become the very thing that we always desired, and that was that you would become the church. You would love one another. You would care for one another. And that love overflowed to Diane and I. I want to thank you for that. I'm just so privileged and blessed to know you, to be, you know, a pastor in this church. I know, Joey says I'm blessed to know him. And I am. I love you, son. You're great. But I am truly thankful for every single one of you. I'm thankful for your prayers. I'm thankful for your giving into the house. Simply, we could not continue to do it if you guys weren't giving. So I thank you for that. Hopefully in 2019 we can put some things in place that would generate income outside of just our giving. That would be nice, wouldn't it? So that our giving could go to things that we're more interested in. Like giving to the poor, giving to the homeless, you know, doing those kinds of things we would be more interested in putting our money to than just paying for the rent in a building. Amen? Well, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the sound guys up the back, particularly Andrew and Mick. You guys put in an amazing effort this year. You've started training up extra people as well. Thanks, Pat, and all the other people. Thank you for the people who do the overheads, Jenny and everyone else. Look, I just thank you so much for everybody who serves, your kitchen people who do stuff in the kitchen. Just thank you so much. You know, I know you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for the Lord. And if you're doing it for Him, He's no man's debtor. He will bless you. He'll bless you when you go out, He'll bless you when you come in. God's no man's debtor. And so I want to just leave you with that thought. Thank you so much for being the church. I thank you to Shano. Shano came and helped me with my house, which was awesome. And he's learned the guitar. You're getting on there. It's getting good, buddy. It's getting good. He helped. Him and his son came in and finished off the gyp rocking upstairs. Give him a round of hand, if you would. You know, we didn't ask him to do that. He came to us and said, could I do that? Yeah, we love you, mate. Yeah, that's just awesome. It is. It's just awesome. you know. And, you know, if you see something that needs doing, just do it, you know. Just do it, you know. So thank you again. Let's just finish in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for every person in it. We thank you, Lord God, for what 2019 is going to bring. We thank you, Father, that we're going to do some things outwards from us. Father God, blessing our community. We are going to be a tree that bears good fruit. This tree will bear much fruit. And Father, we want to plant more trees that bear good fruit. Father, we pray that any word that we speak according to your will comes to pass, Father God, that we would be found faithful in you. We ask, Father God, you'd bless this house, this church, Father God, and every person in it, Father, that we would prosper and grow, that we'd be able to help more people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.